Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this latest edition of the NFL Show on this 17th of October, 2011. I'm your host, Cyril Quinn, taking you for the next 60 minutes as I discuss Week 6 of NFL action. As always, the call number is 347-215-6180. You can always follow me at twitter.com/WilliamJuro or find me at facebook.com/CyrilQuinn. Hope you enjoyed your weekend. I definitely enjoyed myself. Had a wonderful weekend down in Philadelphia, seeing some old friends from Temple University as they had their homecoming, did a little tailgate, barbecue, a couple beers. So it was a good time down there, and certainly good to see some old friends. But we begin with, the game of the week. New England edges out Dallas 20-16. New England improves to 5-1 on the season. Dallas falls to 2-3. Dallas really played well. This was one of my upset picks. I thought Dallas would take out New England in a much different game. I thought the game would be, you know, high scoring. I think I had a 35-31 on my Friday picks. But Dallas played well, certainly played well enough to win. For the most part, I thought outplayed New England. Forced four turnovers, had three sacks, knocked Brady around. But it was their lack of execution in the red zone that killed them, having to set up for field goals instead of getting touchdowns. And, you know, you give Tom Brady a chance, you know, 16-13, Dallas had an opportunity to go in for a touchdown with the game being tied, but was forced, you know, into a field goal. And you knew 16-13 that, you know, they gave Brady too many chances. I mean, 16-13, they go up, they force a three and out, they get the ball back and run the ball three straight times. I've been hearing some criticism, you know, of Jason Garrett's play calling. And it's funny, Jason Garrett can't win for losing. I mean, you know, a lot of times we've been criticizing him for being, you know, overly too passive, too pass happy, and trusting Tony Romo too much. But so now, the one time where he's conservative and just does three straight runs and tries to play the clock, he gets criticized for, you know, being too conservative and also for not trusting Tony Romo. They gave New England too many chances, and New England got the ball back. Brady goes down the field, 8-yard touchdown pass to Aaron Hernandez, who had eight catches for 68 yards on the day. And there you go, Dallas goes down 20-16. Again, tough loss. I mean, that is one of the toughest places to play in the league. New England now, as I believe, has won 20 straight home games dating back to 2008. Tom Brady has not lost a home start since 2006. He's won, I think, 30 straight home starts. So, remember that 2008 season, he was hurt with a knee injury. So, New England goes to 5-1. Brady on the day, 27-41, 289, two touchdowns. We did have two interceptions. Romo, 27-41, 317, a touchdown and an interception. Listen, Dallas did everything that it had to do, but you know, score in the red zone. I mean, defensively, you can't ask for anything more. You hold that team, if you can hold New England under 30, you've done a hell of a job. And that's all it is to it. As a matter of fact, that was the first time they had been held under 30 points going back to when Rob Ryan was the defensive coordinator with the Cleveland Browns. So Rob Ryan was, you know, the last guy to really hold, really, you know, has held the last guy to really hold Tom Brady in check over the last two seasons. The only time Brady's teams have been held under 30 is when they've gone up against Rob Ryan's defenses. And again, they did a job yesterday. I mean, they knocked Brady around. He really never got into a great rhythm. I know he had, 289 yards passing, but they really put a lot of pressure on him. And defensively, you can't ask for more. Just, again, red zone execution killed the Cowboys. Just getting started here on this latest edition of the NFL show. A lot to talk about on a busy Sunday of NFL action. When we return, Pittsburgh survives Jacksonville, and Baltimore keeps on rolling. We'll talk about that. This is the NFL show. I'm Cyril Quinn. We'll be right back. Welcome back to this latest edition of the NFL Show. I'm your host, Cyril Quinn. 347-215-6180 is your call number. The poll question of the night is, who is the AFC's best team? We all know who the NFC's best team is. But the question is, who is the AFC's best team? Certainly, you have to put New England up there in the mix at 5-1. Baltimore is 4-1. They deserve talk. Pittsburgh's played well the past couple of weeks, though, you know, teams that they should beat, they're 4-2. San Diego, 4-1, had a bye this week. So, you know, I don't think that there's, you know, right now, I don't think there's one team that stands out, to be honest with you, in the AFC. So I think you could take any one of those three or four teams and put them in a hat and basically pick one right now. But that is the poll question. That is the poll question of the night. Pittsburgh, speaking of which, takes out Jacksonville 17-13. They improve to 4-2 on the season. Jaguars continue to struggle at 1-5. Pittsburgh really got his running game going in this particular game. 146 yards by Rashard Mendenhall. Ben Roethlisberger on 23 carries. Also had a touchdown. Pittsburgh, Roethlisberger had a decent day, 12-23, 200 yards, a touchdown pass. Mike Wallace had a touchdown reception and had two catches for 76 yards. Pittsburgh led this game at 1 point, 17-0. kind of went to sleep at the wheel and had to really sweat bullets in the second half to avoid a collapse as Jacksonville would score the game's final 13 points. Blaine Gabbert, nothing spectacular, to say at least 12 of 26, 109 yards passing, and a touchdown. Pittsburgh, they've kind of I'm not gonna say that they're back, but they've beaten some teams that they should beat. They have at Arizona, New England, then Baltimore. So they have they need the Arizona game. They need to take care of business against Arizona, considering who follows. But Pittsburgh put themselves in decent shape at 4-2 a couple of weeks ago. You were very much concerned, especially following the Indianapolis game, about where this team was headed. But again, beating the teams that they should beat over the past couple of weeks, I still have some concerns. I'm not quite ready to dismiss Pittsburgh as being a Super Bowl caliber team. I don't think they are. But I'm not going to I don't think you can ever dismiss them. But they still, struggling against Jacksonville, struggling against Indianapolis, still not quite there yet as far as top upper echelon teams. But with that said, they are 4-2. Baltimore over Houston, 29-14. Baltimore improves to 4-1 on the season. 4-1 on the season. Tough loss to Houston. Houston is very much banged up. They have some serious injury problems with Mario Williams now. Add him to the list. They had no Andre Johnson coming in. Flacco had a good day, 20-33, 305, did throw an interception. Big day for Ray Rice, 23 carries, 101 yards rushing. Anquan Boldin had 8 catches for 132 yards. This was a close game throughout. Fourth quarter was 16-14. Houston really played well and went toe-to-toe as far as physically with Baltimore over the better part of three quarters. But Baltimore pulled away late at home, and Houston just could not generate any offense. Just could not generate any offense, particularly in that fourth quarter. Matt Schaub played pretty well. Played decently, but again, you take away Andre Johnson. I mean, that is a major, major weapon. You're talking about one of the great receivers in the league. Houston's offense was really predictable. All you really had to do was focus in on Arian Foster, and that was it. So, that was a big loss. Losing Andre Johnson was a big loss for them and certainly hurt them in that game against the Ravens. Still to come, Monday's latest edition of the NFL show. Carolina comes up short in Atlanta, and the Raiders lose and win at the same time. We'll talk about that and much, much more on this latest edition of the NFL show. We'll be right back. 15 minutes after the 7 o'clock hour on this last edition of the NFL Show. I'm your host, Cyril Quinn. 347-215-6180 is your call number. Atlanta takes out Carolina 31-17. Atlanta improves 3-3 on the season. Carolina falls to 1-5, a very deceiving 1-5. I understand, you know, the old Parcells saying you are what you are, but Carolina, again, every time you look up, they are in the game come fourth quarter time, whether they're up or whether the game is tied. And this game was no different. 17-17 in the fourth quarter before Atlanta pulled away with the final two touchdowns of the game. Michael Turner, Matt Ryan both had big days. Michael Turner goes for 27 carries, 139, two touchdowns. Atlanta finally, you know, where was that last week against Green Bay? The 27 carries, not so much the yards, but the carries. Cam Newton struggles, three interceptions, 237 yards passing, did have 50 yards rushing and a touchdown run. But again, you know, with Cam Newton, you're going to see the spectacular, but you're also going to see games like that where he has two or three turnovers, kind of part of the process of being an NFL rookie quarterback. But you know, with that being said, he still finds a way to keep his team in the game. Carolina's defense is awful. I mean, every week, you know, if Cam Newton doesn't go out there and put 40 yards of offense or 30 points on the board, they basically have no chance. I mean, I don't, you know, their defense, that is one thing that's certainly going to be a priority come draft time in the offseason. I mean, that defense, everybody runs on them. You can do whatever you want on Carolina's defense. Oakland gets by Cleveland 24-17. Oakland improves to 4-2. Cleveland falls to 2-3 on the season. Darren McFadden had a nice day, 20 carries, 91 yards, and a touchdown. Colt McCoy was decent, 21-45, 215, and two touchdowns. But, of course, the big news to come out of this game was the Jason Campbell broken collarbone. Now, it's not as bad as first reported. You know, they basically had him out for the rest of the season. But then, you know, today you heard that, you know, he will have surgery and could be back in six weeks. So, Oakland, you would think, would be, you know, around week 12, week 13, will be still in the midst of the playoff race for that fifth or sixth seed. So, you know, who knows? Certainly, you know, they're going to have to find something up until that point. Right now, you know, Kyle Bowler came in, did a decent job, 1,400 yards, but he certainly is not an answer even for 6 or 7 weeks. Again, we've heard the name, Mr. Brett Favre. That name has popped up. I don't see that happening. David Garrard is going to have surgery on his back, so that's not going to happen. You know, the trade deadline is tomorrow. I mean, would the Raiders, you know, consider Kyle Orton? I don't know. I mean, There are no quarterbacks out there. I mean, you have to go through, you know, going through the backups, and I don't know who's sitting on their couch right now. I mean, I guess Vinny Testaverde would be available, but I don't see that happen. So I don't know. They have Kyle Bowler, and they're going to, you know, find, you know, there is talk about Terrell Pryor. You know, do you really want to put him? I mean, how much of the offense has? Do you really want to put him in the midst of possibly a playoff race? Now, they do have a great running game, so you can somewhat protect them. But, you know, as we've spoken of many times before, you can't hide quarterbacks in this league in 2011. It just doesn't happen. So, you know, Terrell Pryor certainly will be amongst the names that are talked about you know, in the next couple of weeks for a possible to be the possible starter for the Raiders, but I don't see it happening. 347-215-6180 is the call number. Cyril Quinn, NFL Show. When we return, a shootout in the Meadowlands, and Cincinnati. Indy comes up short again. We'll talk about that and much, much more on this latest edition of the NFL Show. welcome back to this latest edition of the NFL Show. Cyril Quinn, as always, the call number is 347-215-6180. Poll question of the night, who is the best, the AFC's best team right now? So that is the poll question of the night. We continue on with the games. Good one down in the Meadowlands. Yeah, it is in the Meadowlands. I was thinking about the Giants Stadium, not called Giants Stadium anymore. But the Giants defeat the Buffalo Bills 27-24. Both teams are at 4-2. Ahmad Bradshaw had a huge day, 26 carries, 104 yards, 3 touchdowns. Eli Manning, 292 yards. But the most important stat, no interceptions, no turnovers for Manning. Fred Jackson continues to just play, just to have a great season. 16 carries, 121 yards rushing. Should have probably got more carries considering, you know, his yards per average. Ryan Fitzpatrick did have 2 touchdowns, but also had 2 interceptions. Good win for the Giants coming off that disaster last week, losing to Seattle. Buffalo came in, Buffalo coming in playing well. You know, Fitzpatrick really was not able to take advantage of that Giants secondary, which has been awful. I think a much needed win for their confidence. Buffalo's a pretty good team right now. That Seattle loss was such a bad loss. You needed to follow that up with the win. They were able to do that. Lawrence Tynes had the 23-yard game-winning field goal. Cincinnati over Indianapolis 27-17. Cincinnati improves to 4, a surprising 4-2 on the season. Indianapolis falls to 0-6, but continues to play hard. I mean, Indianapolis 20-17 was right there. They're the little engine that can't. I mean, they just don't have the personnel, and I mean, even beyond Peyton Manning, but they play as hard as any team in the league. They are just coming up short. Andy Dalton continues to play very well, 25-32 for 264 and touchdown. Biggest play of this game came on a Carlos Dunlap fumble recovery for a touchdown, 35-yard fumble recovery for a touchdown that basically put the game on ice. Again, Cincinnati improves to 4-2 on the season as they will have a bye come next week. Indianapolis wishes they had a bye as they fall to 0-6 and continue to be amongst the leaders for the Andrew Luck sweepstakes. When we return on this latest edition of the NFL Show, Tampa Bay bounces back and Green Bay continues to roll. That's coming up on the NFL Show. We'll be right back.
Down in the hole. Woo! Down
7 minutes after the 7 o'clock hour on this latest edition of the NFL show. Cyril Quinn taking you till the top of the hour as we discuss week 6 of NFL action. New Orleans falls to Tampa Bay 26-20. Very good game in the NFC South battle. Both teams are at 4-2. Big day for Josh Freeman. 23 of 41, 303 yards, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. Drew Brees had a tough day, even though he did have 383 yards passing, but was picked off 3 times, just 1 touchdown, and it was picked off down late in the game, down around the 4 or 5 yard line of Tampa Bay. They were driving in for a possible game winning touchdown, but Brees was picked off at the 4-yard line on a 4th-and-2 play. Tampa Bay then proceeded to run. Tampa Bay got the ball back about 3 minutes left. We're able to run the clock out and seal the game. Great win for Tampa Bay. Ernest Graham had a big day, 17 for 109, filling in for the injured LeGarrette Blount. That's a big-time win for Tampa Bay. Last weekend in San Francisco, they were absolutely just annihilated to a very good. Now we see a very good 49ers team, but to bounce back following that kind of loss against a team like New Orleans, who coming into the game I thought second best team in the league, that's a nice win. I mean, that's a tough division. That division is brutal. I mean, there are no easy games in that division. With New Orleans, Atlanta, Carolina, and Tampa Bay, very interesting to see how it works itself out. But Tampa Bay is again a very good win for Tampa Bay on the at home against a good team, against obviously a tremendous New Orleans team. New Orleans lost twice yesterday. Sean Payton was ran into by a player on the sidelines. We've seen a lot of this in the past couple of years. You remember Joe Paterno, got injured a couple of years ago with a player running into him. Well, Payton tore MCL and ACL, broke a tip, broke his tip fibula, and had surgery today. He's going to be in the booth. Very important. Because Sean Payton, along with Drew Brees, they are the New Orleans offense. Payton calls the plays. Brees is like the coach on the field, but there's a lot different. It's gonna be a lot different having a guy on the sideline than having somebody up in the booth, up in the coach's booth. You're on the sideline. Yeah, sure. You're in the coach's booth. You can relay plays. You can communicate, but it's not like when you're on the field in the action, looking over pictures from a previous series, talking to Drew Brees, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? You can get in the face of a defensive coordinator. Look, we need to get this together. Off the line coach, it's going to be interesting to see the Saints. I mean, I don't think this is going to cost them a Super Bowl. Or we're going to look back and say that this was the difference between them not making, not winning a championship or not possibly contending for a championship. No, I don't think it would be that bad. But it's just one of those things that could hurt them, that could curtail them, down the road, and might not be talked about, might not be talked about enough, it might not be given enough attention to. Big again, Payton is one, and listen, Payton is not a guy who delegates. I mean, offensively, he is the guy on that team, just like Belichick is with the New England Patriots defense. So Sean Payton is with the New Orleans Saints offense, along with Drew Brees. So it'll be interesting to see how that team plays offensively in the next few weeks. St. Louis, Green Bay trashes St. Louis 24-3. Green Bay goes to 6-0. Atlanta, St. Louis, of course, falls to 0-5. And this game probably was over last April when they came out, or May, whenever the NFL schedule came out. 24-0 to start off. St. Louis gets a field goal. Gets a field goal to avoid the shutout. But Green Bay basically put it on cruise control. Green Bay didn't even play in the second half. It was 24-3 at halftime. Aaron Rodgers ends up 17-28, 3-10, three touchdowns and an interception. Jordy Nelson, two catches, 104 yards of receiving, including a 93-yard touchdown pass in the first half. And St. Louis did put up some nice offensive numbers. Steven Jackson had 96 yards rushing. Sam Bradford over 300 yards passing, but did suffer a high ankle sprain late in that game. His status, certainly will be monitored over the course of the week, but who knows about that. But, Green Bay just basically toyed with St. Louis over the course of that game. They are, the NFL's best team and remain, and right now they are the NFL's lone unbeaten team. So, Green Bay, does what it has to do and improves to 6-0 on the season. Philadelphia gets a much needed win against the Washington Redskins 20-13. They improve to 2-4 on the season. Washington falls to 3-2. Philadelphia at one point in this game was up 20-0, but in typical Philadelphia fashion, found a way to make this a game, despite the fact that the Redskins were just awful. Rex Grossman with the four interceptions ended up being pulled for John Beck. The Redskins had a million penalties, just played sloppy football. I mean, Redskins couldn't do nothing offensively. Yet, it was at 20-6. Michael Vick goes out of the game. And I'm going to talk more about that because it was I found it very curious. Michael Vick takes a shot from LeVon Landry, goes out of the game for a couple plays. Vince Young comes in, throws an interception. For that small window, the Redskins down 26, had the ball at the field at the 20-yard line, had a chance, I think, had Philly, on the ropes, so to speak, in many ways. I mean, they go in for a touchdown at that point. Who knows what happens? Philly was, again, waiting. You were waiting for another Philadelphia collapse. Philadelphia, didn't score in the second half, but was smart enough, and the reason why they won this game, was smart enough, unlike prior weeks, to give the ball to their best player, I feel, in LeSean McCoy, who had a huge day, 28 carries, 126 yards, a touchdown, 8 touchdowns on the season. He scored a touchdown in every game, and has just been tremendous. The difference in this game is Philadelphia out rushing Washington 192-42. Getting back to that Michael Vick, the Michael Vick thing. Michael Vick, goes out late in the third quarter with an apparent injury that I initially thought. He goes out, misses two plays. Vince Young throws a pick on the second play. Then Michael Vick miraculously comes back. Now they said that it was he had dirt in his eye. But what I've heard today is that he has a visor. His helmet has a visor. Okay. And, I'm thinking to myself, dirt in his eye. It really took two plays to get the dirt out of his eye. I was just wondering, this is your franchise quarterback. If he had dirt in his eye, would that require him to miss a play? I'm not buying it. I'm frankly not buying it. I don't think dirt in the eye having dirt in his helmet would require him to miss one play, for that matter. I think he was hurt for a second. I think he was shook up. That was, LeVon Landry hit him with a pretty nice shot to the back. I'm not saying Vic had a concussion, but who knows? I just think that we're not hearing something here with this, that we're not getting the complete story on why he was out of the game. The dirt in the helmet, that sounds, come on. Let's be honest about that. That sounds like a bunch of nonsense. So found that kind of curious. Regardless, Eagles do get the must-needed win. Grossman, 9-22, 143 yards, four interceptions, was awful. Beck came in, did some decent things, wasn't spectacular. He was 8 for 15, 117, and did rush for a touchdown and led the Redskins to the only touchdown drive of the game. Still to come on this latest edition of the NFL show, there's just one unbeaten team left. We'll tell you how that happened, how that occurred, and the Bears bounce back. We'll talk about that coming up on this on the NFL show. 38 minutes after the 7 o'clock hour. This is Cyril Quinn. We'll be right back. Welcome back to this latest edition of the NFL Show. I'm your host, Cyril Quinn. 347-215-6180 is your call number, poll question of the night. Who is the AFC's best team? Minnesota falls big to Chicago, 39-10. Vikings are 1-5. Chicago is 3-3. Devin Hester had a couple of touchdowns, including another kickoff return, 97-yard kickoff return for a touchdown. As to his already NFL record for returns, for touchdown returns on punt and kickoffs combined. Also had a touchdown catch. Jay Cutler played well, going 21 for 31, 267, two touchdowns. Big news to come out of this game was the benching of Donovan McNabb, who, you know, now has been benched, you know, basically, 3 out of the last 4 years, he's been benched. He got benched in the 2008 season for Kevin Cobb. Came back, led the Eagles to the championship. Got benched last year for Rex Grossman, and now he gets benched again for Christian Ponder, who is, of course, Minnesota's number one draft pick. I don't think McNabb was playing poorly. I mean, he did go 19-24, 177. No touchdowns, no interceptions. Threw a couple of balls in the dirt, which McNabb has made a living of doing over the course of his career. I just get the sense that the team plays with no energy with him at quarterback. You know, watching that game, that was the first time I watched Minnesota from start to finish, and the only reason I was watching that game was due to some of the fantasy football purposes. And that probably would be the last time I ever watched Minnesota from start to finish for the rest of the season. I mean, they are awful. You know, they barely used Adrian Peterson. I know they were down, but there was a point in the game where, hey, just give him the ball to protect your quarterback. And, you know, he ran, you know, 10 carries, 32 yards, did have a touchdown. Minnesota was just terrible. But, you know, McNabb, you know, they just don't play. The team is not that talented, but they just don't play with any energy with McNabb. You almost get a sense that they don't believe in him in terms of him being their quarterback. And you wonder where McNabb will go from here. I expect Christian Ponder to be the starter. It makes no sense to go to Christian Ponder at 1-5 and then to start McNabb coming up this week. Now, they do have Green Bay, but, you know, so what? So be it. They're in your division going – I mean, like you said on Monday night, like Chris Collinsworth said last night, you're about to beat him sometime anyway. Christopher Hyman came in, did some decent things, 9-17, not spectacular, had one good run. I don't know how much you're going to read from that performance, but the bottom line is the Christian Pomer, to me, the Christian Pomer era has began, and who knows if Donovan McNabb will ever start another NFL game. Think about that. You know, 3 years removed from a NFC championship, now finds himself on the bench again. Once again, though, I'm sure this one is a little bit more acceptable. At least you get benched for a first-round draft pick who's going to be, you know, considered the future of the franchise versus a journeyman, you know, who is just god-awful in Rex Grossman. So, I would think that this benching would be more understandable if you're Donovan McNabb. Team is 1-5, going nowhere fast. And, you know, but we'll see what happens. San Francisco gets probably the most impressive win of the day, 25-19 over Detroit. We'll get to the, you know, handshake gate, as they're calling it. We'll get to that. But the bottom line is big-time performance from the 49ers. On the road, they are 3-0 away from home. They're in total control of that division. They're going to win that division. It's just a matter of, you know, how high of a seed can they get to make the playoffs. They're 5-1 right now. Detroit falls to 5-1. The difference in this game to me is simple. San Francisco runs the ball. Somebody says it's time for McNabb to call it quits, and you know, you might be right. I don't think so because he'll make a good backup for somebody, but because there's a lot of bad quarterbacks in the league. But you know, as a starter, he's probably done. But difference in this game is, and all you have to do is look at the stats: 203 yards rushing for Detroit, 66 for 203 yards for San Francisco, 66 for Detroit. And that's the one thing. You know, I had this discussion with a buddy of mine. You know, that's the one thing about Detroit. You know, Detroit has the two most important aspects of building your football team. They have down pack. They have the franchise quarterback in Stafford, if you can stay healthy. And they have pass rushers without having to blitz. Those are the two things that they have right now. That's where you want to start out with. But right now they don't have a consistent running game. And the better teams, when you start playing these better defensive teams, and San Francisco is one of the better defensive teams in the league, they can kind of neutralize Calvin Johnson. And Calvin Johnson did have over 100 yards receiving, but they kept him out of the end zone. You know, Javert Best coming off a big day against Chicago was basically a non-factor in terms of rushing. Stafford had to throw the ball 50 times, which is certainly a recipe to lose a game. And, you know, great, but again, great win. Great win for the 49ers. You have to be impressed with how they're playing defensively. They're running the football, protecting Alex Smith. Alex Smith is not making mistakes. You know, he's playing efficient, solid football, making the right plays. Is he a franchise quarterback of the future or a quarterback of the future? No. But right now he's played well enough to he's been able to manage the game, and that's all you can ask for out of one Alex Smith. 5-1, San Francisco is really, out of all the teams that have surprised people, whether it be a Cincinnati, whether it be, you know, the Redskins, whether it be Buffalo, even the Raiders, San Francisco, to me, is clearly the most impressive out of that group. There were some people who thought Detroit could have a decent year. I didn't hear anybody talking about San Francisco having this kind of year, but they have certainly played great football. And again, they are absolutely in total control of that division. Nobody is going to catch them in that. Nobody's going to catch them in that division without question. So we'll see how. Just see how far the 49ers can go. 46 minutes after the hour on this latest edition of the NFL Show, 347-215-6180. Your call number, Cyril Quinn, taking you to 8 o'clock on this Monday night. When we return, I'll tell you what I thought overall about Week 6 of the NFL season. We'll talk about that and also look at next week's matchups. This is the NFL Show. We'll be right back. back to this latest edition of the NFL show, Cyril Quinn. I thought week six was a week for bounce back teams. I thought, you know, Philly, Tampa Bay, the Giants, all just brutal losses last week, needed to win, especially, I mean, Philadelphia's season was online, so it was an absolute must-win for them. You know, Tampa Bay getting just destroyed by San Francisco, bouncing back against a good Saint team, the Giants bouncing back against a good Buffalo team coming off that debacle with the Seahawks last week. So I thought, you know, you saw some teams, you know, show some mental, show a little toughness by bouncing back with some nice victories in week six. Also, how about the AFC North Division? Baltimore 4-1, Cincinnati 4-2, Pittsburgh 4-2, and Cleveland 2-3. I didn't see Cincinnati. We thought Baltimore and Pittsburgh would be good. Certainly did not see Cincinnati coming. I thought Cincinnati would be one of the worst teams in the NFL, to be honest with you. But Andy Dalton's played well. Their defense has played great. And they've found a way to win close games. And remember, you know, 49ers beat them a couple weeks ago 13-8, or they would be 5-1 on the season. So, you know, good job out of Cincinnati. That division looking, you know, Cleveland's bad, but, you know, there are the worst last place teams in divisions. So that's a very strong division. As far as, and I didn't mention, forgot to mention in the last segment, you know, about the Jim Harbaugh thing. You know, listen, Harbaugh came out and said everything that should have been said. I shook his hand too hard. It's on me. I had zero problem with it. He did shake his hand. First of all, the handshake, it wasn't so much the handshake, it's the smack in the back. I mean, you're just beating this guy in a tough game at home, giving Detroit his first loss. So, you know, you are sky high, basically, in terms of excitement. Run over this guy, hard handshake, smack in the back. I mean, that would piss me off, too. I have to admit. But if you're Jim Schwartz, and if you ask me who should take the majority of the blame in this situation, it's clearly Schwartz. Schwartz cannot chase. You can't chase an opposing coach 15 to 20 yards to do what? You know, he wasn't going to throw any blows. There was nothing good that could have came out of Jim Schwartz chasing Jim Harbaugh basically almost into the locker room. Nothing was going to, if you're Jim Schwartz, you know, if you want to say something at that exact moment, that's one thing. But you can't chase a guy in the hallway into the basically try to chase him into the tunnel. So both of them kind of embarrassed themselves, and surprisingly, the NFL is not going to fine either one of them. The NFL just released a statement that there was no fighting, so no basis for a fine. I mean, geez. Listen, two NFL coaches, two professional coaches going back and forth, you know, after a game. I thought there would be, you know, $5,000-$10,000 fine, but, you know, apparently the NFL saw it differently. You know, they expect, you know, they didn't, no pit, no, you know, no blows were thrown, so good enough, that was good enough for the NFL. But, you know, it was entertaining. And if you watch that game, there was a situation earlier that kind of, I'm not going to say foreshadowed this, but there was a Nate Burleson touchdown catch that was ruled a touchdown. Initially, you know, you thought that it might be overturned or possibly reversed, but the play was deemed to be not challengeable. Jim Harbaugh challenged the play anyway and was given a 15-yard penalty for challenging a play that can't be challenged. That's a new rule this year. So Schwartz apparently said something in the direction of the San Francisco bench. So maybe Harbaugh was, you know, getting back at Schwartz. Maybe Harbaugh remembered that over the, you know, when the game was over. Who knows? But you know, Jim Schwartz is a guy who nobody's going to have any sympathy for. I mean, he's a guy, he's as animated and as wound up on the sideline as any coach in the league. I mean, fist pumps and, you know, he's very, he can be arrogant on the sidelines, seems professional, you know, during the press conferences and things of that nature. But, you know, he's a guy who, you know, they're very, the thing is they are very similar guys. So it makes sense that they would get into something. Also, on the trade, Brandon Lloyd, the trade deadline is tomorrow. Brandon Lloyd of the Denver Broncos, their best receiver, has been traded to St. Louis for a conditional pick. I think a good move for the Rams. They need some weapons on the outside. Who knows how long Sam Bradford, if he's going to miss any time at all. But the transition for Lloyd to St. Louis should be smooth, considering that Josh McDaniels was his former head coach and currently the offensive coordinator with the St. Louis Rams. When we return, we will look ahead towards next week's matchups. This is the NFL Show. Caller, you're on the air.
Yes. How you doing this evening?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I just called in to talk about Jim Schwartz and those guys. I mean, Jim Schwartz is an emotional guy. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Jim Harbaugh is an emotional guy. But Jim Schwartz, you know, he does all that fist pumping and stuff on the sidelines. He can't be doing all that crying and all that kind of stuff, man, in the football game. You know, he got beat. And, you know, last week when they beat the Bears, they was doing all that fist pumping and all that stuff, a lot of jaw-jacking and talking, and Dominique Sue was doing a lot of talking. But guess what? You know, when you lose, you got to lose graciously. Jim Harbaugh did slap him hard on the back because they showed a close-up on ESPN.
That's the thing, man. The slap is what did it. And now Schwartz claimed that Harbaugh cursed at him, too. I didn't see it. Of course, I'm not on the field, but it was a slap. The slap is the one that did it. But I completely agree with you. If you can dish it, you got to be able to take it. So I certainly agree with that. Schwartz shouldn't be complaining about anything. He's as animated as any coach on the sideline in the league. But
right. And then, I mean, okay, and then with all that being said, I mean, I thought when I was lip reading, told Harbaugh say something like get the F out my face. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So whatever. But Schwartz, you know, hey, he gotta do what he gotta do. Detroit, and I don't want to keep up hold up your time, but Detroit to me right now, I still think they're a young team. I think they got a lot to learn right now, but I think this is gonna be the downfall because they got a tough run coming up. You know, with some teams that, they've been getting away. Like when they beat the Bears a couple of weeks ago, I mean, last week, the Bears gave up. The Bears lost that game. They gave up two big plays. Without those big plays,
right,
the Bears win the game, you know.
Yeah.
I think Detroit would be fine.
I think Detroit would be fine. I think they're a playoff team. I think, you know, they're not in Green Bay's class, but I think Detroit is a legit playoff team. Caller, I got to get to another caller, man. Enjoy your night. Get back to me.
All right, man. Take it easy.
Take it easy. Caller, what's on your mind? Yeah, I mean, Schwartz is – he is who he is. I mean, this guy is as animated as they come. You know, I'm sure there are a lot of coaches around the league who are annoyed by Schwartz and all his antics, but just don't say anything, just not to make it sound like sour grapes, because Detroit – you know, up until yesterday, had been 9-1. Caller, what's on your mind?
Yo, my brothers, man. Hey, I'm 4-1. Got a quick question. Down 31 points. I got Keller going tonight. It's a PPR league. And I also got, I can go with Daniel Thomas or I can go with Shannon Green. Down 31 points, PPR league, 10-point rushing touchdown, 1 point every 10 yards receiving, 1 point every 10 yards rushing. You hit 100 yards, you get 5 bonus points, you know, whether it be a receiver, tight end, or a running back.
So but, you have Keller, you have either, you said you can either
I got to keep Keller in, okay? So
right.
I got to pick either Daniel Thomas, who's with a hamstring, I'm taking a gamble there, but Jets do give up stuff. And then I got Shannon Green as an option, but I don't know what's going to go on. He did okay for me last week. I'm down 31 points right now. It's a PPR league, 10-point rushing touchdown, a point per reception. But the big thing is 10-point rushing touchdown. And if you do hit 100 yards, you get another 5 bonus points. So if somebody scored 100 yards, okay, had 100 yards rushing, receiver, a running back, I get 15 points without even a 10-point touchdown, okay?
Miami's defense is terrible. So I would bet that Sean Green scores at least one, if not two touchdowns. If you maybe had to pick somebody, I would lean towards, you know, Sean Green with a couple of touchdowns. The Miami's defense is awful.
Yeah, that's what I figured, because I figured Keller may be able to do it, because I'm down, like I said, I'm down 31 points. I'm down 51 to 120. So, you know, I get this like another
The Jets have a huge offensive night. They should have a big offensive night. Miami is one of the worst defenses in the league, especially passing-wise. The Jets should have a big offensive night. I can easily see in the Jets. I know they struggle offensively this season, but I wouldn't be surprised if the Jets put, you know, 25 to 30 points on the board against Miami.
Good. That'd be good. Because, like I said, even if I got one touchdown and 100 yards, hell, that gives me 25 points there. And if Keller gives me 7 points, I win by a point. So, because, like I said, for PPR league and different stuff, that's my big thing. But the 10-point rush and touchdown. So, again, I have Green in there now. But Thomas, he's been out for a couple of weeks. I hate to see him get running and then hurt himself. They kick myself and say, idiot me. You know, why didn't you keep the healthy person? But, again, you hate to have two people from the same team take the numbers away, which is Keller and Green, but hey, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm not big on guys unless they're superstars coming back from injuries. Unless they're superstars.
Right.
You know,
right.
You have Phillip Rivers, somebody like that, Andre Johnson, then you have to play them. But guys,
right.
You know, the rank and file type guys, the average player, slightly above average player, I'm not, when they come off injuries, especially in the NFL, I think it takes them at least a game to get their feet wet. Aaron Foster, it took him a couple games. It took him at least one game or two. So, you know, I would go with Sean Green.
I'll do it that way there, my friend. Thank you. I appreciate it very kindly.
All right, take it easy, man.
Get
back
to me. Take care.
You too.
Cool. Bye-bye.
So we get a fancy call to end the show here. That's how we end the NFL show with a fancy football call. To answer the question about the poll question, and again, we have gone overboard as far as our time is that we're on overdoing overtime now, which is fine. I think ranked top five says he believes that Baltimore is the best team in the in the AFC. That was the poll question. Who do you think is the best team in the AFC? I'll have to agree with him that Baltimore right now is the best. Now, does that mean I like Baltimore coming out in terms of the Super Bowl? Probably not. But right now, on October 17th, you know, they definitely had the best defense, great, great running game. Flacco's played well enough. You know, offense started to play a little bit better. So they've been the most impressive. But it's not certainly, again, San Diego can beat any of those teams. New England always is going to be dangerous with Brady. And you can't discount the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's going to wrap it up for this latest edition of the NFL show. Again, catch the replay anytime on blogtalkradio.com/TheRealQuinn. And this link will be up on facebook.com/TheRealQuinn. Have a great evening. Have a great week. I'll see you soon. So long.